Well, everybody kind of moved up here in this section. That's kind of nice. Usually everybody moves to the back. That's kind of nice. Well, last week, we began looking at the potential of the power of the Word of God in us. So it's God's power, but it's potential power within us. Now, for those of you that weren't here last week, I'm going to try to give like a really condensed summary of what we talked about. But there's no way, because if I start talking about too much, I just get excited. It's the science of it, and I just get excited, and I'll spend all my time saying the whole thing again. So I'm going to give you a really short kind of synopsis that we talked about last week so we can kind of all be on the same page. But the important thing to remember is what we're talking about is the potential of the power of the Word of God that's in you. Because the Word of God, the more we put the Word of God in us, it's the power of God within us. But it's only potential power until we release it from ourselves. Now, because I do love science, I was looking last week, and what I was showing you is trying to draw a comparison, because there's so many things in the laws, the physical laws that God has established in this world. So many of those physical laws reflect or give us a viewpoint, a view, a glimpse of the spiritual laws. We can see and understand things in the spiritual realm by seeing and understanding what God has established here in this natural realm. So in talking about the potential power of the Word in us, potential power, I looked at it first from a photon of light. A photon of light, light in its smallest source, is a particle of light. And so a particle of light is a photon of light. A photon of light is simply an individual packet of light energy. In the same way, the Word of God is an individual packet of His power, of kingdom power that works its way through us. Now, we also looked at it last week scientifically. We looked at it from, well, the way the Word looks at the Word. The Bible itself describes the Word of God as a seed. Well, a seed itself is an individual packet of life and of power. Same thing is true. This is what the Word of God is. It's potential. It's individual packets of His kingdom power in us. Then last week, we also looked at thinking about the Word of God as a seed. We looked at how we can prepare the soil of our hearts to receive that seed, to receive that Word. And we looked at how that seed grows and how that potential power, partially, we looked at how that's also released. Then last week, we also drew the comparison of the potential power of the Word of God. I have so many alliterations in this that it's going to be really hard. You're going to hear me say things wrong at least once or twice this morning, so just bear yourself. But the potential power, we drew the comparison of the potential power of the Word of God with the scientific principle of physics. Because in physics, there's something called potential energy. Potential energy is pretty much just energy that's ready to be released, but it's stored. It's potential. It's not yet used or realized. And we saw that there is two forms. In physics, there's two forms of potential energy. There's gravitational potential energy, and there's elastic potential energy. Now, we spent most of the time last week looking at gravitational potential energy. See, if you're trying to take notes on this, yeah, don't even try. Just go back and listen to it later, because there's an awful lot. So we looked mostly at gravitational potential energy. Gravitational potential energy is that energy that is because of a position. So in other words, if an object is at a high position, it's potential energy. It's potential when that's released. So we looked at gravitational potential energy, and we saw, are you all still with me? Okay, we saw that there was two variables to gravitational potential energy. And again, this is to draw a comparison. What we see with gravitational potential energy is the same thing that we can see and learn about the potential of the power of the Word of God. It's Word power potential, but we're trying to figure out how we release that potential within us. So we're looking at the two different variables of gravitational potential energy. The first variable is mass. This is really quite simple. This is what I said last week. You start saying physics, and everybody's eyes kind of glaze over. These are really easy things to understand, so don't have your mind bug out because we're talking about physics. Mass is one of the variables. This is really simple. All it says is that mass, the potential object, mass is just simply the greater the mass of a potential object, the greater the mass of a potential object, the greater the potential power when that's released. Quite simple. The greater the mass, the greater the potential power. Well, the greater that we mask the Word of God in us, the more of the Word of God that we get masked inside of us, the greater the potential power to be released through us. It's the importance of getting that mass of the Word within us. Now, the second variable in gravitational potential energy, the second variable was height. Height's really simple to understand also. The greater the height of an object, the greater the release of potential power. Kind of makes sense. The higher you have something, if you have something up high, if you have a wrecking ball up high on a crane, it's potential power. The higher it is, the greater the potential explosive power when it comes down to Earth. So the variable of height is the greater the height, the greater the potential power. But here's the key. The greater the height, the greater the potential power, but it's multiplied. So if you double the height of an object, you double the potential power within that object. If you triple the height of an object, you triple the potential power. That's important for us to realize. Because the Word, the potential of the Word within you, think about this. The height of the potential power of the Word of God within you is at a height that is beyond imagination. We're not talking about taking a wrecking ball up two or three times the height. We're talking about the potential power of the Word of God. The height that that is at the unimaginable height. It's beyond our understanding. It's in the heavenlies. Because the Word tells us that we are seated with Him in heavenly places. So the potential power of the Word, the more mass of the Word we get, the greater the potential power. And the greater the height of the power or the mass, the greater the release. We need to understand that the potential power of the Word of God within us, it's coming from that height. That is an amazing power that we should expect to see released when we stand on the Word, we believe the Word, and we speak the Word. Isn't science wonderful? It is for me. Okay, there's another element of the height position that if we understand it, it'll help us to really understand the explosive power potential of the Word of God. Let's go to Psalms, Psalm 148, verse 1. See, I got talking about all that and wanted me to go back and talk about it all over again. That's why I didn't bring the seeds with me today, because I would have showed you all that again. Psalm 148, verse 1. This is a simple verse, but boy, it's a powerful verse. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him from the heights. This is talking again, we're thinking about the relationship between the natural laws and the spiritual laws. And the natural law we're talking about is gravitational potential energy as represented by the variable of height. This is talking about the heights. This verse, we can take this back. For those of you that weren't here 2 weeks ago, bear with us. But for those of you that are here 2 weeks ago, remember, we were finishing up talking about Jesus teaching us how to pray. And in that discussion about Jesus teaching us how to pray, one of the things we learned at the very end was that it's imperative for us to praise God before and after our prayers. So there was an important principle of praise before prayer and after prayer. That's what we learned. But we're seeing the same thing demonstrated to us here in this verse. This is what this is talking to us about, because Psalm 148 showing us the power of praise. It's showing us that same power of praise, the importance of praise. But this is saying praise from an elevated height. This is saying praise Him from the heights. This is praise. When you praise, it is releasing that power potential of the Word of God from the extreme, unimaginable heights of heaven. It's praising Him from the heights. Whether or not you see today what you're praising God for, you have to know that it's done. And you praise Him for it before you see it, because it's done. And it's the power of the Word of God. When you speak it, it's going to be released. You know, sometimes when you drop something from a height, it's not like you release it and then boom, it's there. There's a time delay. It could take a half a second. It could take a second. If you have it way up in the atmosphere, it's going to take a while. You get high enough, you can have things like if you have radio communications with an orbiting satellite, there's actually, you know, a pretty, That's traveling at the speed of light. And there's still a fraction of a second of delay. There is a delay from the height of things. There's a delay. But think about the power. The greater the height, and it's coming from the heights of heaven. The higher it is, the more the potential power. But there's sometimes that delay. Because when you release something, it's not instantaneously on the ground. It takes time to get from here to there. So you keep praising God regardless of what you see. It doesn't matter whether you see it today or not. It's released from the heights. It's coming. There just sometimes is that second or two delay. There's other reasons involved in that, but sometimes we can actually see, you can go back to the book of Daniel, and you can see 21 days of delay from the spiritual realm to the physical realm. But the key factor is, it's that we praise. It's the power of praise within our prayers. As we praise God, it's releasing that potential power of the Word of God. Now, it says in that verse three times, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise Him, praise the Lord three times. I would say that's a pretty dramatic exclamation point, would you not? The verse is not that long. It basically consists of praise the Lord. Anytime you see something in the Bible that's repeated, if you see something repeated in the same verse, that's pretty much an indication this is something you should pay attention to. Well, this is said three times in a short verse. This is saying, pay attention to this point because you need to understand the significance of this point. It's the point of praising God, the power that comes from our praise and the power that comes from the height. This is telling us that praise is a vitally important part of releasing the potential power of the Word within us. Amen?
Amen?
See, if you forget everything else today and you remember nothing else, remember, praise is a vitally important part of releasing the power potential of the Word, the potential power of the Word that's in you. Because the Word's in you, the power's there. We're finding ways to release that incredible power from the heavens. Now, you also notice from that verse, you'll notice that the psalmist says the same thing twice, with one notable exception. When he's talking about the height from which we're to praise God, he uses two different words. He uses the word heavens, and then he uses the word heights. So is this just poetic license from the psalmist? I mean, after all, psalms are considered to be the poetic section of the Bible. Is this just poetic license because it sounds good? Say heavens instead of heights? No. Every word that is in the Word of God is placed there by God for a purpose and with a power that comes with it. So to me, it's a significant thing that when he's talking about the height from which we are to release that, but the height from which the praise comes, he talks about heavens and heights. It's significant. If you go back and you look in the Hebrew, the word for heavens in Hebrew is shamayim, shamayim. That's going to be in the final exam, so make sure you get that written down. Shamayim. And the neat thing about shamayim is it has a dual meaning. That's where it gets really fascinating. So shamayim, meaning heavens. It means the heavens that are above us. So it's talking about the sky, the clouds, even the celestial bodies that are above us. It's the heavens above us. It's the heavens that are represented by the natural realm, heavens. But remember, shamayim has a dual meaning. It also means the heavens that are from the spiritual realm. It's referencing the heavens in regard to the place where God the Father, Jesus Christ himself, dwells. So it's talking about the natural heavens as well as the spiritual heavens. So think of it this way. Our praise, are you all still with me? Our praise, am I going too fast? Because I've been told several times I go too fast, but I just get excited. It's the Word of God. So our praise, think of it this way. Our praise has to come from the heights of both the spiritual as well as the natural. So again, think of it this way. Our praise comes from the natural. It comes from our lips. It comes from our mouth. It comes. Our praise comes from this natural realm that we live in. But our praise is powerful above all the things of this natural and physical world because it's empowered by our elevated position in Jesus Christ in the heavenlies. Can y'all see that? So our praise, your praise is elevated above all the physical world, and it places you above all the things, your praise places you above all the things of this natural world. It allows you to enforce the promises of the spiritual realm. It allows you to enforce the power of the Word of God from you. That's the significance of the two different words of heavens and height. I love the fact that the Word of God is so detailed in what it teaches us and the power that is there for us. So our potential kingdom power of the Word, our potential kingdom power of the Word of God that is in us, is released in the same way that potential energy is released in the natural world. It's exhibited by the fact that God has established natural laws of this world. And that by those natural laws, what we see in the natural laws, we see again as an example of what takes place in the spiritual realm. So how can we get a better picture of that vantage point, that height that we can't see? I mean, we can think about it, we can conceptualize it, but how do we get a better picture of it? Well, let's remember that we live in the natural, we live in a three-dimensional world. So everything that our natural senses, our eyes, our nose, our ears, our mouth, our sense of touch, did I forget any of them? I always forget one. All of our natural senses in this world perceive only the things of this world. It perceives things only in three dimensions. What do you see? When you're looking at me, what do you see? You see height, not much of that, but you see height, you see length, and you see width. This is how we perceive everything: height, length, and width. And yet, the book of Ephesians, I love this verse. There's a verse in the book of Ephesians that describes an additional dimension. Let's look at this. This is from Ephesians. It's Ephesians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. Ephesians, after the Gospels, you get Acts, Romans, then you get into all those smaller books. Galatians, Ephesians. So Ephesians 3, verses 18 and 19. It says that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all fullness of God. There's a lot of things we can say about that. We can spend a lot of time there, but here's what I want you to see. Do you notice that in this verse we live in a three-dimensional world? Everything that we perceive is perceived according to height, width, and length. But what this says, there's four. It says height, width, length, and depth. Again, I ask you the question. Is this just God using poetic license? Is it just saying the same thing? Can we look at that and we can say, you know what, really? Height and depth, it's probably the same thing. No! If God has it in the Word of God, there's a purpose for it to be in the Word of God. This is an amazing verse because this is the verse that is showing us there's an additional dimension, a dimension beyond what we can perceive with our natural senses. That additional dimension, it's the spiritual dimension. That's an amazing reality. So this dimension is real, whether we perceive it or not. The spiritual dimension is real. And it's there in that dimension, that additional dimension that this verse talks about. It's there in that dimension that you're seated with Jesus Christ in power and in victory. There should have been about 17 of us at least saying amen or holding up the signs for amen. That's good. To me, that's exciting because it's from the height of that dimension. It's from the height of that dimension that the power potential of the Word of God is released. And remember, the greater the height, the greater the explosive release of power that comes from potential energy, or in this case, potential power. Now, I'm going to go back and look. I'm spending this week a lot of time looking back. I apologize to those of you that haven't been here. But we're going to look back again at something that we looked at a few weeks ago when we were looking at Jesus teaching us how to pray. One of the things that he taught us in that Lord's Prayer, those five short verses. One of the things that we looked at was he taught us this: give us this day our daily bread. Now, if you remember when we were looking at that verse, one of the things, there was a lot that was there. For our purposes today, one of the things that we learned from that phrase, give us this day our daily bread, was to look at the show bread on the show table in the temple. Give us this day our daily bread. The show bread on the show bread table in the temple. Now, we see that from the book of Exodus, chapter 37, verse number 10. Exodus 37, verse number 10. He made the table of acacia wood. 2 cubits was its length, 1 cubit its width, 1.5 cubits its height. Now, the importance here is the height of the showbread table. I hope this comes back to you guys and remember this. The importance here is the height of the showbread table, because the showbread was placed on the showbread table in the temple, and it was placed at a very specific height. The height of the showbread on the showbread table was the exact height of the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant, which is also in the temple. So why is that significant? Think about that. The showbread is at the exact height of the mercy seat. Remember, the mercy seat represents God's presence with men. So the mercy seat is God's presence with men. The showbread, the Word of God, this is Jesus. Jesus, the Word. We're talking about the power potential of the Word. Jesus, the Word. Jesus is the bread of life. And the bread of life, the Word, is at the exact same height as the presence of God. When we're in the Word of God, we are at the exact same height as the presence of God. When we're in the Word of God, we are exactly in His presence. He takes us to the heights with Him. We are seated with Him in those heavenly realms. That's a beautiful, beautiful picture for us. It's amazing. Am I going too fast? Do we need to just stop and process for a moment? Okay. We'll give you a moment, but I can't stop long. Okay, remember, if you were here last week, remember, there was two forms of potential energy. Two forms. Now, the one form we've talked about an awful lot, we talked about last week, and most of what we discussed this week has been the one form, the gravitational potential energy. So again, I'm back to science. This is the science of physics, but it's the science of physics as it gives us illustrations of the power potential of the Word of God. So we were looking at the gravitational potential. And the gravitational potential, again, to summarize everything, it is simply if you take a wrecking ball and you put it up high on a crane, because of its position, its elevated position, it's all about position, you release that wrecking ball and it comes down with great explosive force. In the same way, you and I, with the Word of God within us, that Word of God and the power potential of the Word of God, because of our position, gravitational potential energy is all about position. Our position is seated with Him in Jesus Christ, seated with Him in the heavenly realms. That's our position. So it's from those heights that we release that. So that's the gravitational potential energy that we've been talking about. But now let's look at the second form of potential energy. We kind of touched on it a little bit last week. The second form of potential energy in physics is elastic potential energy. Now, last week we spent a couple times going to the physics classroom for definitions. Let's look at the physics classroom. This is not, again, this is just physics. What you're about to see, this has nothing to do with God. This is just somebody who was writing about physics. But I love the way you can look at physics and you can see the Word of God. So, according to the physics classroom, this is the definition of elastic potential energy. Elastic potential energy is the energy stored in elastic material as a result of their stretching or compressing. The amount of elastic potential energy stored in such a device is related to the amount of stretch of the device. The more stretch, the more stored energy. Does that make sense? Okay, so here's what we looked at last week. Last week I used the illustration of I got a nicer balsa wood airplane today. See, because I did well last week, Donna, let me get an even better balsa wood airplane. This is a $6 balsa wood airplane compared to the $2 variety of last week. But if you remember this as a kid, Okay, this rubber band that is here in the center. What this is talking about, potential stored energy. This is an example of potential stored energy. Right now, the rubber band is flaccid. There's no energy in it. But as I turn the propeller, you can see that the rubber band is stretching, which is what that definition is talking about. And so the more that it stretches, the more the potential power that is stored in that rubber band. Notice I'm doing this a lot. This could really hurt somebody. So that's potential, that rubber band right there is stored potential energy. If I release this propeller, there's power within that. You ready for it, Gene? There's power in that rubber band. And as I release that, it's going to release all of that power. And that power is going to do work. It's going to turn the blade, and it's going to result in flight. This is potential energy. And this is what we can exactly see when we look at the Word of God, because the Word of God is the same thing. It is stored energy. This is the Word of God. The more I get the Word of God in me, the more that is put inside of me, the more it's, and here's the key, we're going to look at how it stretches, the more that it is stretched, the more the potential energy that's going to be released, and it's going to be released in power in our lives. Bob, you might have to catch this, because I tried this on last week, and it kind of veers that way. I'll try to avoid you, but it kind of goes. So here is potential energy. Think about this as the release of the potential power of the Word in you. This is my avionics. Whoa. Woo! And it didn't even break. All right, so that is potential energy. And you can see how that just kind of compares with the potential power of the Word of God that is within us. So there's another interesting element of elastic potential energy. There's another interesting element of the definition of it. So let's go back to the, once again, the physics classroom. And this is what it tells us about the further definition. If a spring is not stretched or compressed, then there's no elastic potential energy stored in it. If I didn't spin this, no elastic potential energy. The spring is then said to be at its equilibrium position. Now again, don't get all freaked out because they're talking physics. It just makes sense. If there's no stored potential energy, when you see that rubber band right there, there's no potential energy stored in it. It's called an equilibrium position. Remember that because that's important. The equilibrium position could be called the zero potential energy position. There's not one of us that wants to be in the zero potential energy position when it comes to the Word of God. We don't want to be in the equilibrium position. We want to have that potential power of the Word stored up inside of us. That's what we're looking for. So the airplane is a really good example of that elastic potential energy. This is that potential energy, but I got to realize that I have a part to play within this. This is the elastic potential energy. But a key to understanding the physics of this is understanding that the rubber band has to be stretched. If the rubber band is not stretched, there is no elastic potential energy, correct? If this isn't stretched, this is called being in the equilibrium position. So this is important for me to realize, because the Word of God is potential power within me. The Word of God is potential power within you. But again, you and I have a part to play within this. There has to be a stretching before there can be a release of power. Think about that. There has to be a stretching. This is the potential power of the Word of God within you. But there has to be a stretching of the power of the Word before it can be released, before the power can be released. So I can't just sit back and wait for God to do something, because God's already done His part. God has already provided for us all the power that we need, because He's given it the power in the Word of God. He's given us the power of the Word of God to eat, to consume, to fill ourselves with, and to stand on. So here's my responsibility. My job is to prepare the soil of my heart, as we looked at last week, so that I can receive the seed or the Word of God. And it's my responsibility to, once I've prepared the soil of my heart, to plant the seed or the Word of God in my heart and to continually plant it. Then it's my responsibility to stretch myself. How do I stretch myself? I stretch myself by that continual filling of myself with the Word of God. Continue to fill yourself with the Word of God. Continue to stand on the Word of God and speak the Word of God to the situation, whatever it might be. And even if your situation looks different than what you're standing on to you or to others, it makes no difference. You stretch yourself by continuing to get the Word of God in you. Remember, this whole thing is about the potential power of the Word of God. The Word of God is power, but it's potential power in us until we release it. So we're learning how to release that potential power of the Word of God within us. If I'm not reading the Word of God, and I'm not speaking the Word of God spiritually, I've placed myself in a position of equilibrium. I mean, I've placed myself where there is no potential power. Remember, the position of equilibrium is the place of zero power potential. Am I positioning myself in the place of potential power? Or am I positioning myself to be in that place of zero potential power? See, equilibrium means nothing more than this. Equilibrium just means I'm trying to find a balance between the Word of God and the natural reality that I live in. That's all equilibrium means. I'm going to put this down or I'm going to either break it or hit somebody. So, equilibrium is just trying to find that balance. And guess what? There is no balance between the Word of God and the natural reality that you live in. Those two things are at odds with each other at all times. You're not going to find any kind of balance with the Word of God. You cannot release the potential power of the Word of God within you by keeping your focus on the Word or trying to find balance or equilibrium with the Word. It's impossible to do. Take your eyes off of the situation. Take your eyes off the world and off the situation. Put your eyes fully on the Word of God. And by doing that, you're stretching yourself by filling yourself with the Word of God. Everybody got that? All right, one more time, I'm going to go backwards to something we learned. And this is what I love about the Word. The more you learn the Word, the more the Word builds upon itself. The Word builds upon itself, and it supports itself. I don't expect most of you or any of you to remember this, but almost a year ago, last September, we were talking about, for those of you that were here, we were talking about the story of Elijah. Elijah's the prophet of God. And the story is about Elijah in his last days on earth. So this is just before Elijah dies. And the king of Israel, Joash, comes to Elijah because he's looking to gain Elijah's double portion power that he has, a double portion power of God. And Elijah, the man of God, instructs Joash and he says, pick up the bow and pick up the arrow. Any of you guys remember that? All right, well, I'm going to read that to you. This is 2 Kings chapter 13. Verses 15 through 18. Is everybody getting this? Everybody like science? Everybody like physics? Everybody love the Word of God? Everybody love history? That was a little bit weaker, but we're going to get some history in there before too long. Okay, so 2 Kings chapter 13, verses 15 through 18. And Elijah said to him, the king, take a bow and some arrows. So he took himself a bow and some arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, put your hand on the bow. So he put his hand on it. And Elijah put his hand on the king's hand. And he said, open up the east window. And he opened it. Then Elijah said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for you must strike Syria at Aphek until you've destroyed them. Now again, there's a whole bunch that is in there, but this is what I want you to see from this. If you recall, which you probably don't, it was a year ago, but if you recall, the bow here represents the strength of God. The bow represents the strength of God. The arrow, I'm going to really shorten this for you, by one of the definitions, the arrow represents the staff. Or the staff represents like the staff of Moses. It represents God's power and authority. So you have the bow, which represents God's strength, and you have the arrow, which represents God's power, God's authority. Those are the two things that we see. This story is a remarkable example of elastic potential energy as seen in kingdom power. I mean, you can see what the physics says, and you can see it played out here in the kingdom power, in the power of the kingdom world. Lost my place. Ah, yes. It's the power of the Word of God that is within us. This is what you have with inside of you. You have the full power, the potential power of the Word of God. But it's released by the strength of God. It's released by His hand in strength. This is what we see by that bowstring being pulled back and released. It's that kind of power, that potential power. But we also need to remember that the king, King Joash, had to go and he had to pick up an arrow and he had to put an arrow into the bow. In the same way, the bow is God's strength and the arrow is God's power. You and I still have to pick up the Word of God and we've got to put it into the bow, God's strength. It's up to us to do that. Now, this is where we say to ourselves, but what happens if the Word of God doesn't work through me? Ever said that? Yeah, probably all of us have. What happens if the Word of God doesn't work through me? Or what happens if I do something wrong? What happens if I use the Word incorrectly? Not your problem. All you have to do is pick up the bow and put the arrow in it. The rest is up to God. Remember in this story, you see that it's the prophet Elijah. He puts his hand on the king's hand when the king's hand is on the bow and arrow. This represents the hand of God on your hand when you're releasing the power of the Word of God that's in you. It's not your problem. Just pick up the arrow and put it in the bow. That's all that we have to worry about. It's His bow, His strength. It's His arrow, His power. All we have to do is pick it up. When we decide to release the potential power of the Word of God that is within us, it is God's hand on your hand as that power is released. It has nothing to do with you or your power. It simply has to do with our obedience and filling ourselves with the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Every single one of us has the potential power of the Word of God within us. Every one of us. But the key is to build up the mass of the Word of God within us. We build up the mass of the Word of God, and then we release that mass from the elevated position of our height seated with Him in the heavenly realms. We stretch ourselves and release that potential power by believing the Word of God and speaking the Word of God, even when the circumstances of our life are contrary to what the Word of God says. It's the mass and it's the height. Now, here's one final verse I want us to look at. This is Acts chapter 4, verse number 30. I just love the illustration of this. By stretching out your hand to heal, by stretching out your hand to heal, and all the signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus Christ. Stretching out your hands, stretch yourself. It's that potential power. It's that elastic potential energy. It's that elastic potential power. Get the Word of God into you. And you release that Word of God from the heights. You amass it, you release it. You release it by stretching yourself, by speaking the Word and believing the Word of God. Don't place yourself in the position, which is what too often in the body of Christ we do. Don't place yourself in the position of equilibrium when it comes to the Word of God. We don't want to be in the place of equilibrium, that place of trying to balance the Word against the world. Will never work. Focus yourself totally. Forget what the world tells you. Forget what the situation tells you. All I have to do is focus myself totally. Let the Word be the center and the core and keep putting the Word inside of me. And then what I'm going to do is take myself from that, I remove myself from that zero potential power position and I place myself in that explosive, powerful position of the world's potential, of the Word's potential released through me and realized in my life. That's the potential power of the Word of God that is within each one of us. Amen? Amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, you be glorified by your word. Thank you that we have your word. And thank you that it is your power that's within us. Now, for each one of us, I just thank you that as we think about these things, that Holy Spirit, you show each one of us, because you know exactly what each one of us needs to understand. You know exactly what each one of us needs to hear from you, to understand how to bring that potential power, your potential power, from the spiritual realm into this natural realm, that it can be realized. But we know that it's up to you. All we have to do is put the word in us, and then we can just let it go. We can forget it, because it's not our problem. It is yours. And we thank you and praise you. So we commit ourselves to pick up the arrow, to pick up the word of God, and to put it in the bow, put it in your strength. And then it's in your hands. And we just thank you and praise you for that. You be glorified as we realize the potential power of your word in us, through us, and realized in this life. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.